the studios of Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP, in Santa Cruz, California, I'm Gary Shapiro, and this is From the Bookshelf. This is the time of year when it's cold, it gets dark at 5 o'clock, that I miss baseball. I love baseball, and I love the stadium, AT&T Park, where the San Francisco Giants play. It's a state-of-the-art stadium, and it's always fun to attend games there, whether the Giants are in the World Series like they were in 2010, or if they fall just a little bit short. An important part of the stadium experience is the welcoming voice of the stadium's announcer, Ronnell Brooks Moon. Ronnell is a radio personality and an entertainment reporter, and Ronnell is the only female stadium announcer in Major League Baseball, and was one of the first African-American announcers. She's also my guest this week. Ronnell, welcome to From the Bookshelf.
Well, Gary, thank you so much for that lovely introduction.
Well, you make the stadium such a fun place to be.
Oh, I appreciate that so much.
And how do you prepare for a game?
Well, I get in about 2 hours before first pitch, and we have a production meeting, myself and all the staff that works, the audio visual, the scoreboard and the Jumbotron and everything. We have a production meeting as to how our show is going to go that night. I go over the lineups, and if need be, I'll go to the visiting announcers and check in with them if I have any questions about pronunciations or everything. And I grab a little bite to eat, and then it's showtime.
Now, is there like a producer that's in charge of it all, or?
There is. We have a manager of Ballpark Entertainment. We call him our director. Yeah, it's just like doing a TV show or a radio show. That's at least the way we all approach it.
And he says, oh, you know, he gives you a cue. We're going to do the hat race or the boat race or whatever kind of crazy thing you do.
Exactly. Most of the time, we do have a rundown. Everything is pretty much previously scheduled, but, you know, as is in radio and TV, sometimes you have last minute changes, and he's in charge of those.
And where are you in the stadium when the game is going on?
Oh, Gary, I have the best seat in the house. I'm on the club level right behind home plate. It's fabulous.
That's great. Oh, we love the club level.
Yeah, isn't it great?
It's great up there.
I love it.
What's your favorite food up there?
Well, you know, I don't really eat the stadium food. We have a press dining room where we eat that's down the hall from the booth. If I ate the stadium food, I'd be 300 pounds by the end of the season, Gary.
how did you get this job? It's a great job. It's a dream job, I guess. How did you get it?
It is a great job and a dream job. Well, the Giants actually invited me to audition for the job in the fall of 1999, right before the new ballpark opened in 2000. And I got a phone call after I got off the air one morning, and it was a surprise because I had no idea they were even looking for a new PA announcer. And I got a message from the vice president of marketing asking me if I'd be interested in auditioning. And you know, Gary, I grew up going to Candlestick Park. I'm a Bay Area girl, and I was just outdone. I was like, absolutely, I'm interested in auditioning. So I actually did the audition at Candlestick Park, which was a thrill, and then I got a call a couple weeks later that it was down to myself and one other candidate, and I went and did the second audition, and the Lord blessed me with this opportunity.
And you've been doing it for 12 years?
Uh-huh, since the ballpark opened, yes.
I was there on opening day.
Wasn't that phenomenal?
It was really fun.
It really was.
The Blue Angels flew over and scared me.
Yeah, that happens every opening day, I'm afraid.
No, it's a beautiful stadium. And your personality is such a part of it. And, you know, I've heard you on the radio also and your podcast and so forth. And it's kind of a different sound that you have when you're the host of the ballpark. Do you think about it differently than you do a radio show?
Oh, absolutely. I bring it down a notch. You know, you got to respect Major League Baseball and respect the game. It's, you know, it's not my job to be a cheerleader. It's just my job to kind of be the host at the ballpark and pay attention to the umpires and defensive changes and to really watch the game, because I really, you know, one mess up for me could really affect the game, you know. So I have to really pay close attention to game action and the home plate umpire who gives me my signals for defensive changes. But I do bring it down a notch. I have carte blanche on the radio show. I can be as wacky as I want to be, but that's for the radio only. That's not for baseball.
Now, do they tell you that? Do they say, listen, Ronnell, we want you to bring it down? Do they direct you in that way?
No, actually, they didn't. I mean, I felt pretty confident I could do what was expected of me in that capacity. And I just really kind of have drawn upon being a baseball fan all of these years and going to games at Candlestick and at the Coliseum and, doing what I have heard over the years, you know, kind of emulating the style of PA announcers that I heard over the years. But it's definitely my job to keep it very professional and to just really respect the beauty of the game. So I was already prepared for that approach. But no, I never got any instruction, and it seemed to have worked well because everybody seems to be pleased with it.
Of course, the voices that you heard growing up, those were all men.
Those were all men, which is why it never, ever in a million years occurred to me that I would have an opportunity to do this. Everyone asked me, is this your dream job? And I'm like, well, as a little girl growing up, you know, in the 60s, it just never occurred to me that it would be a possibility for me one day. And it's also a job that there's not a lot of turnover. You know, the men that have held these jobs, they stay in those chairs for a lot of years.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't think of them before you. You know, I went to the ballgame a lot. And I didn't really, you know, I'm not really aware of the personality of the host of the ballpark the way you have made me aware. You know, usually it's just a man and he's saying, now batting. But you don't do that. I mean, you really, you know, you've really made it your venue. I mean, it's like, welcome to Rennell's house. We're going to play baseball.
Oh, well, thank you. That's the best compliment I could ever receive, because that's exactly the approach that I'm going for.
Do you interact with the team a lot or not at all, or what?
Not a lot. I mean, there are events that I host with some of the players, and I do a little bit of TV for Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area during baseball season, where I'll interact with some players. But I pretty much just, you know, I leave the guys alone.
You're up there.
Yeah, I just come to work. I go right to the booth and get my paperwork and my instructions and get ready to go.
Well, now, you were mentioning a minute ago that what you say can affect the game. And I know that over the, you know, dozen years that you've been there, there have been maybe some tense moments. Have you ever had that occasion where it was up to you to sort of diffuse the tension in the stadium?
There have been, just say, maybe less than a handful of times when I've been called upon to make an announcement to fans about, you know, throwing things on the field, or, you know, if their behavior is getting a little out of control, if they're upset about a call and start throwing things, or, you know, or catching a foul ball when they shouldn't. I'm asked to make some announcements from time to time, but that's very rare at AT&T Park. Our fans are extremely knowledgeable, and they don't go too crazy when things don't go our way. They'll be vocal about it, but I've rarely had a real situation where there's been, you know, a lashing out of the fans or that kind of thing, where I've had to really kind of calm them down. But there are plenty of announcements standing by if that turns out to be the case that I would have to read, and that would be the call of my director. He would let me know if that was necessary at that time.
And have you ever made any kind of error that was you know, bad for the judge?
Nothing that's affected the game, because, again, as I say, you know, it's my job to watch the home plate umpire. He's my guy during the game. You know, I can't bring in a pitcher or a pinch hitter until he gives me the signal.
And do you have a scorecard, or do you have a computer, or how do you keep track of everything?
Yeah, I just do it the old-fashioned way. I have a big scorebook that, and I save it after every season and kind of go back and reminisce about the games. And I, you know, I write little notes. Oh, you know, Albert Pujols was amazing tonight. You know, so I can kind of remember that game when I go back and look over my scorebook for the year. But yeah, I just do it the old-fashioned way. My grandpa taught my mom, and my mom taught me how to score.
So now you cover, I guess, roughly 80 games a year, right?
82 games, yep.
Unless there's postseason, then you get some extra.
You get a lot of extra if we're lucky, yeah.
Uh-huh. And what about the other games? When you're not working, do you keep up with those games also?
Absolutely. When the team is on the road, I'm watching and reading and going online and, you know, getting information and statistics. And absolutely, I am a baseball fan first and foremost, which is, again, why it's so amazing for me to have this job. But, yeah, and I'm going through withdrawals now. I really miss it during the off season. I miss the guys I work with. I miss the team. But absolutely, when they're on the road, I'm watching.
Well, fortunately, that awful strike year happened before you were.
Exactly.
I know. I feel for those Warriors people.
I know. That's been tough.
Really bad. We're talking with Rennell, and she's the voice of the stadium, home of the San Francisco Giants, Pacific Bell Park, AT&T Park. It's changed its name a few times.
It has, yeah.
We should just call it Rodnell Stadium.
Oh, wow. I'm not worthy of that, but thank you.
But you are in the Hall of Fame.
Well, my scorecard is, yeah, from Game 3 of the 2002 World Series, and that's a huge and incredible honor. I mean, what I've been able to experience with this organization since 2000 has just been amazing. The two World Series appearances, an All-Star game, it's just been phenomenal.
Well, you know, everything worked out in 2010, but back in 2002, and you were there that night that the game kind of got away.
Yeah. Yeah, I was there.
Well, how did you feel, and how did it affect you as an announcer?
Well, I always have to deliver the same no matter what the situation. At least that's the way I approach it. And that was definitely a tough night for sure, but I still have to be professional and approach it as I would any other game.
It wasn't quite as bad as what happened to Texas this year when they got within a strike twice and still failed to win. But it was pretty awful when those pesky Angels came and took our World Series away from us.
Yeah, it was not a good evening. It was not a good series.
Let me ask you about Barry Bonds, because, you know, usually when a player is as great as Barry Bonds was, you know, when the player retires, they have some wonderful celebration for them. But that, because of the controversy about steroids, Barry Bonds didn't really retire. He just wasn't hired again.
Right, he's just kind of hanging out.
And you know, what are your feelings about it?
Well, I really honestly can't speak really too much about it. They kind of have placed a bit of a gag order on us in terms of discussing the whole steroids issue, and I also, it's different for me because I actually knew Barry before I got the job for the Giants, so I have a personal relationship with him too.
He's a Bay Area boy too.
Yeah. So I have a personal relationship with him too that I would like to protect. But I will say that he's still in great shape and looks like he can still get the job done.
I'm sure he could.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate that. We respect that.
Thank you.
All right, so let me ask you this secret then. I'm going to try to get you to reveal some of these.
Okay. It's like 60 minutes now, Gary. I'm getting an interrogation.
The person inside Lucille, is it a man or a woman?
I can't tell you, Gary. I cannot speak to that either. I'm very sorry.
But do you know? You do know, don't you?
I absolutely know. And this individual is extremely talented.
They're very, whoever it is.
Extremely talented, because that can be a tough gig.
It can be.
Yeah.
Now, I remember one night I was there. It was a couple of years ago, the night before the All-Star game. And all of the mascots from all the major leagues were there parading around.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It's really crazy, that mascot thing. But I think our mascot is the best.
I would have to agree.
All right, good. All
right. No argument for me on that one, Gary.
All right, we didn't get any secrets, but...
No, I'm sorry.
So let me talk to you about your career in broadcasting. How did you become a broadcaster?
Again, here's the situation where I didn't really plan it. It kind of happened by accident. I got an entry-level job at KCBS News Radio when I got out of college in 1981 and just completely fell in love with radio. I mean, a 24-hour news station for somebody like me that likes to be, you know, creative and active all the time was just an amazing thing. And I worked behind the scenes for about 4 years in the newsroom and in the public affairs department in marketing. And then I decided, you know, I love music so much. Let me see if I can, you know, parlay this into a situation at a music station. And then I got a job at KFRC Radio. I was a sales assistant and then moved on to public affairs coordinator. And then I just happened to sing. We put a band together, a lot of staff members, for our Christmas party that year. And I was the lead vocalist. And that night, the program director said, you know, I'm very impressed by you, and I'd like to put you on the air. And I was like, are you crazy? You've got to be kidding me. Are you nuts? I have no experience. But he had me make a demo tape, and he advised me to just approach being on the air as if I were in my house, in my living room with my girlfriends, and just talk to the listeners like that and to have fun. And I still do that to this day. I never forget the advice that he gave me. But after I made the demo tape, he did put me on the air a couple weeks later doing an overnight shift, which is where you start out. And then he moved me up to 12 to 4 weekend afternoons. And then after that, I was fortunate to get a job at KMEL Radio, where I was on the air for 11 years. And then after that, KISS came along, sister station to KMEL, and I've been there since 1997. So I've really, really been blessed. I mean, everything that I'm doing, Gary, in my career is everything that I loved as a child and what I experienced with my dad. My dad had a great voice himself, great singer and great public speaker. And he was an educator, actually. But I loved watching the Ed Sullivan Show, sitting on his lap, watching, you know, all the great acts of the 60s perform on Ed Sullivan, because that was our only way of seeing performers back then. Not like today, when you can see them on, you know, any of 100 channels or 700 channels. But everything that I loved, going to games with my dad and listening to music with him and watching TV variety shows, I now have been able to do that in my career, which is a huge blessing.
Well, what are your musical tastes? Do you get to play the music you like, or must you play the playlist?
We must play the playlist, absolutely. But I'm fortunate at KISS, which is an old school station, that I'm able to play a lot of the music that I grew up with, which I completely enjoy and love. But off the air, musically, I'm kind of all over the place. I love Coldplay. I love Tony Bennett. I love Rihanna. I love, love, love Madonna, and I'm so excited she's going to perform at the Super Bowl halftime show. So I'm kind of all over the place. And, of course, old school, Earth, Wind & Fire and Motown and that kind of thing. So I have a varied taste in music, that's for sure.
They always play good music I almost called it Pac Bell Park, but at AT&T Park. They always play good music there.
We have a fantastic DJ. We actually had DJ Addy was our DJ up until this past season, as a matter of fact, and we now have one of his proteges who's taken over and has done an equally fantastic job. And they primarily handle all the music. There's no major instructions for them, but they pretty much handle all the music and the rally music. Of course, the walk-up music for the players, all the guys pick that music for themselves. But the music that you hear, that's all the DJ, and it's DJ Lee Merritt's. Want to give him a shout out, who's our new DJ at the ballpark.
Oh, we look forward to that.
Yeah.
Now, you have a way of kind of introducing the players. It's sort of all your own, but how'd you work that out?
Kind of trial and error, really, Gary. I kind of just follow the energy of the crowd and, of course, the game situation. I mean, if it's a crucial situation, you know, runners in scoring position, two outs or whatever, I'll punch it up a little bit, you know, depending on the game action. But I kind of just let the crowd and the game be my guide.
Well, it's fantastic that you, that you make it such a marvelously happy place to be, especially when there's a game that maybe isn't going the Giants' way.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Is that a struggle when you're looking at the scoreboard and it's, you know, 14-2 or something?
Yeah. Those are the tougher games to do, because I still have to maintain my energy and my professionalism, but then you can bring it down a notch when it looks like, you know, obviously we're going to be out of it. But yeah, those are hard for all of us in the in the scoreboard and the Jumbotron room, to what rally videos do we play to get the crowd back in the game, and also we have to be conscious of whether or not it'll, you know, get the players fired up, and if we have a rally video that we're going to show, and a player has maybe not had a great night, we don't want to show a rally video that features him, you know, because the crowd could turn on us. So these are little intricacies that people don't know when we put the show on for you at the ballpark.
Well, that's exactly what we're asking about. what kind of decision making time do you have? Do you have to make like a really snap decision? It's like, well, I've only got. I mean, it's a lot of time in a baseball game, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
But when something does happen, it happens pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, we props to our director. We have a list of different scenarios, so we're kind of prepared for any situation. We have a lot of go-to videos and go-to songs for certain situations, so we're never, you know, really caught at a loss. So we are truly and really ready and prepared for every situation. That's part of what we talk about in our production meetings prior to the game as well.
Well, do you find the experience basically predictable or unpredictable?
Every day is a different day. You never know. You never know, and you just go with the flow.
Have you ever gone to the ballpark and watched the game and seen something that you have never seen before? Like, I can't believe that happened.
Oh my gosh, I'm sure I have. I can't, nothing comes to mind right now, but I'm certain that I have because it's been a long run that I've had, and I've seen some amazing things at that ballpark. You know, ridiculous splash hits, not just by Barry, but by, you know, visiting players as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing that makes baseball so interesting, I guess, is that so many different things can happen. But I don't get to sit there 82 times. I suppose any job, no matter how exciting, might become tedious or boring. Have you had that experience?
I haven't had that experience. Like I say, every day is a different day. Every game is a different game. You have new teams, different players coming in. A lot of players that I'm a big fan of, which is why I enjoyed the All-Star game so much. That was one night when I could be enthusiastic about every player that I announced, you know. It was fantastic, you know, to say Ichiro Suzuki was so much fun, and it was great. I was like, I'm really relaxed tonight because I can just, this is just an exhibition game, really, and I can root for everybody. It's fantastic.
Now, you don't travel over there when they do their spring training, but you do the spring training games when they're at AT&T Park.
I do, but my husband and I go to spring training. We didn't make it last year, but we try to go every year, and just so I can kind of familiarize myself with the new guys and kind of get back into the groove. And sometimes I'll go up and maybe do an inning or so, but primarily I enjoy spring training to reacquaint myself with the team. But also, it's the only chance, Gary, that I have to sit in the stands and be a fan. And that's the one thing I miss the most. I go to Oakland games, you know, and I can sit out there and be a fan, but I really miss the fact that I cannot go to AT&T Park and watch the game as a fan.
People don't recognize you because they don't see you. They hear your voice, but they don't see you.
Well, actually, they do. I mean, I do a little TV for Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area, and I've done some broadcasting, some television broadcasting over the years. I've been doing this in this market for over 25 years now. Mm. So
when you go to Oakland, they do say, hey, it's Ronell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And actually, Gary, I worked for the A's. I did TV for the A's a million years ago. That was, early to mid-90s. I did a magazine show called A's Inside Pitch, and I know that helped me get the job with the Giants because Larry Bear had seen my work on TV for the A's. So I know that helped him kind of suggest me for this job. But yeah, they and I'm a Raider fan, so I'm over there. My husband and I are season ticket holders, so we're there all the time.
It's a very different environment at a football game than it is in a baseball game.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is. It definitely is.
It's maybe not as family friendly. Maybe
it's not that bad. Don't believe the hype, Gary.
Well, when I went to a 49er game, I didn't find it as inviting as I do when I go to the baseball game.
I understand. It's a little rowdier atmosphere, that's for sure.
And I also think the demographic is different. I mean, when I go to Candlestick, you see, I mean, I'm calling it Candlestick. I mean, when I go to AT&T Park, I see families and people of all ages and genders.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go to the Niner game, it's mostly 35-year-old men.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think so, except for me.
I don't know, because we go to the Raider games, and that's something my husband and I are real defensive about, because we have families. There are generations of families that are there, from the oldest family member to the youngest grandchild or great-grandchild. So we see that a lot. And I did some TV for the Raiders as well a few years ago, and that's one of the things we like to promote on the show, that, you know, it really is. Don't believe the hype. It's a family-friendly place. There are children in the black hole who are doing just fine.
Okay. Well, I guess a Raider. I have to go check out a Raiders game.
Pretty fun, I have to say.
I once went to a USFL game there.
Oh my goodness, that's going back a ways.
It wasn't very exciting.
I bet not.
It was like on the part of the Ice Capades, actually.
Oh my. Okay.
No, not to put down the Ice Capades. That might be fun. Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah. Well, we're chatting with Ronell, and she is the voice at AT&T Park, the Giants Stadium. And I wonder, do they have conventions? Do you know other stadium announcers?
I've only actually met, I met one through Facebook, and I met another, Chuck Drago, who does the PA announcing for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He came out to visit this past season because they they were hosting the All-Star game this year, so he kind of wanted to come and talk to me about what it was he should be expecting. So I got to meet him, and then in 2009, when the Yankees won, I heard from their PA announcer last year saying, I hope your season ends the way mine did, with a ring. And I thought that was really sweet of him to reach out like that.
Well, how was it for you when the Giants won the World Series?
You know, Gary, to be honest, I don't think I've really even fully processed it yet, because it was just, it was unbelievable. It was magical. It was surreal. I couldn't believe that I was lucky enough to be in that incredible situation, but it was just amazing. I mean, clinching on the last day of the season, and then we just kept winning, and nobody expected us to.
No, even in that last game when Brian Wilson was on the mound,
yeah,
I was thinking, well, here's where it all goes away.
Yeah, I know. And my husband and I were like, oh, my God, they're still winning. We're still in this. It was phenomenal and by far one of the most incredible and fulfilling experiences I've ever had behind a microphone, that's for sure.
Well, Ranelle, we're all looking forward to next season. You'll be there?
I'll be there.
When do we start? April?
We start on the road, I believe. And then it's like around April 6th or 7th, I think. I'm not certain of opening day, but I do know that we start on the road.
What do you do with yourself in the meantime?
Well, I have a radio show that keeps me pretty gosh darn busy. Mornings from 6 to 10 on 98.1 KISS FM in San Francisco. And I do a lot of events for the Giants off season. In fact, I have two of them coming up this week. I have another one next week. So I host a lot of community events on behalf of the Giants, and I'm actually really delighted to host a reception for Mr. Bill Newcomb this Friday, as a matter of fact, as we thank him and send him on his way and thank him for our wonderful season and our wonderful World Championship season and his wonderful leadership. So that's what I do for the Giants during the off season. They keep me pretty darn busy.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking some time from your busy schedule to join us here on From the Bookshelf. We really appreciate you, and we'll be there. You can think of us when you're announcing.
I certainly will. Thank you so much, Gary. I appreciate it so much.
Well, that's it for this week's edition of From the Bookshelf. I hope you enjoyed the program and that you'll come back and see us again next week. In the meantime, check out our podcast page at KUSP.org or find us on Facebook and iTunes. Production assistance on From the Bookshelf is provided by Francis Venegas. Thank you, Francis. I want to thank our guest, Ranelle Brooks Moon. She's the stadium announcer for the San Francisco Giants at AT&T Park. Thank you, Ranelle. For From the Bookshelf, I'm Gary Shapiro. We'll see you next time.